Sylvia Braddock has been dead for nearly 18 months. She drew her last breath sometime between the last day of August and the first day of September. The Braddocks' trip to the lake was her idea, a small retreat before the summer came to an end. Lake Madeline lies an hour from the city, a body of water spilling across 900 acres, fringed by frothy, overgrown forest. Along the lake's winding perimeter, enterprising spirits have carved out pockets of civilization over the decades. The resort is self-consciously rustic, conjuring up images of nostalgic summer camps, creaky family cabins passed down from generation to generation, but filtered through a lens of luxury. The end result is too stuffy to attract much upscale clientele, too expensive for sunscreen-blotted tourists. Sylvia had heard that the cabins offered city dwellers a chance to escape without going too far, to breathe in a dutiful dose of fresh air, examine the sensation of wilderness and solitude, and then return to normal life. Soon after the Braddocks arrived at Lake Madeline that August, they recognized the couple staying in the next cabin. Patrick's colleague, married to a friend of the Braddocks, one of Sylvia's many small matchmaking successes among her circle of acquaintances. She immediately suggested the four of them spend time together, folding the other couple into the Braddocks' plans as easily as if she'd expected to find them there. Patrick couldn't find a polite way to protest this, even as he knew that Sylvia would slip into her role as hostess. Expansive, dazzling, unable to re-enter the more intimate world of being his wife. By Saturday evening, Patrick was depleted, exhausted by the small talk, the bright beat of the sun, the previous night spent drinking, surrounded by the acidic veil of citronella lanterns. He made his excuses as Sylvia escaped into the nearest town with their friends. She arrived home from dinner later than Patrick expected, the tint of wine on her breath. He tried to convince her to come to bed. Sylvia was edgy from drinking. The last time Patrick saw his wife, she was sitting at the edge of the bed to remove her shoes. Head bent, dark hair falling over her face to reveal the graceful slope of her neck. She was gone the next morning. Patrick waited. Her shoes stood outside the bedroom door. Sandals with needle-thin heels, perfectly lined up, as if she was just about to step into them. A towel lay in a moist, crumpled blossom from last evening's shower, fragrant with shampoo. When Patrick called his wife's phone, it vibrated violently on the windowsill. It was past noon before the thin threads of Patrick's worry and impatience solidified into fear. Sylvia had woken before sunrise the previous morning to take a quick swim in the shallow water nearest the beach. She'd been back in time for breakfast. That afternoon, Patrick walked the perimeter of the lake. When he returned 3 hours later, exposed skin blooming with mosquito bites and long, raw scratches, his friends were waiting. They seemed reluctant to meet Patrick's eyes as they discussed what to do next. Stranded in the absence of their gazes, Patrick began to understand all of this as pointless, a temporary buffer between not knowing and knowing. Half a day passed before they retrieved Sylvia's body. Within this time, Patrick turned into someone to be protected and distracted, shuffled off with the local sheriff's deputy. The deputy and his wife kept up with a soap opera, and so the deputy patiently explained to Patrick a labyrinthine plotline in the latest episode. A woman who coerced her identical twin into taking on the life she didn't want, only to envy her sister's unexpected happiness.
"Grass is always greener," the deputy said.
Patrick nodded and nodded in agreement, imagining his wife pulled from the depths of the lake like a flag of surrender.